Job chapter 18, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "How long will it be ere ye make an end of words? Mark, and afterwards we will speak. Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight? He teareth himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee, and shall the rock be removed out of his place? Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. The gin shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. Terrors shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger-bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the strength of his skin, even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. It shall dwell in his tabernacle, because it is none of his. His brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness, and chased out of the world. He shall neither have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before were affrighted. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. You remember that old joke, who was the shortest guy in the Bible? Bildad, the Shuhite, right? You've never heard that? Okay, well, he may have a name that he is short, but his words are very tall. Remember, I told you last week that I like what Durham says about this next set of discourses here, that they increase in sharpness. Bildad here is very sharp in his words against Job. He starts in at the beginning and is relentless to the end of his chapter here. Job responds in chapter 19. But up to this point in chapter 18, all of chapter 18 is filled with the sharp tongue of Bildad the Shuhite. So let's take a look at some of the things that Bildad says. And I'd like to divide the chapter in verses 1 through 4 and then 5 through the end. In the first portion, Bildad takes up the charge against Job. And as we said last week, he has sharpness with his tongue. He shows impatience with Job's speech. Remember, I told you that in the middle part of the book, we reach the point where they all tell each other, "When will you cease to talk? When will your words come to an end? When will you cease? When will you pipe down? When will you be quiet?" All right, well, here, notice what he says. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite, "How long will it be ere ye make an end of words?" Now he says something even beyond that. He says, "Mark, and afterwards we will speak." Wow. That's pretty tough. Have you ever been in a very tense conversation when men are really getting after one another? It's not pretty. It's not pleasant. And yet, this is what we have here. Bildad says, in effect, if I can put it colloquially, just tell us when you're done. Then we'll respond. This back and forth is not getting us anywhere. So make your arguments and get them out, and then we'll respond. But we're wasting time to respond any time before that. That's what he says. So we see his impatience with Job, his impatience with the process, his impatience with what seems to be in Job, according to Bildad, his refusal to hear counsel. This guy, every time you speak to him, he's got something to say in return. He just won't be quiet and listen. And so Bildad is, well, he ratchets up the tension. Then he says this, "Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight?" And so when Job says to them, "You have not got the heart of the matter, you have accused me of something that is not true," Bildad takes that as such an insult. He says, you're equating me with a beast, or all of us with beasts. You're saying we have no reasoning capability at all. We're just like animals to you. These are stout words. And then in verse 4, he gives his conclusion of the matter. Oh, he's tearing himself in his anger. He's gone crazy. He's gone mad. His estate has rendered him touched in the head. You can't trust him to be reasonable anymore. He tears himself in his anger. And then he says to Job, "Shall the earth be forsaken for thee, and shall the rock be removed out of his place?" And I think what he means here is, number one, he speaks about the earth. So he's saying, shall the whole creation be moved and you stand firm in your position? Everybody's against you, Job, and you're still standing firm? And then he says, shall the rock be removed out of his place? In other words, will you also charge against God? Must God change his ways before you change yours? And so if we pull up there for a moment and make a use of Bildad's understanding of the situation, well, Bildad has some right desires here. He desires to vindicate God's sovereignty and justice and holiness. But in so doing, his application is completely wrong. The other thing that he does is he ratchets up tension. And let me say this, from one who has had a number of tense conversations in my years, very little light is generated from that kind of heat. Very little light is generated from that kind of heat. We adorn our profession of the gospel. We adorn our profession of sound doctrine when we are able to do so apart from heat. You will shed more light than you do heat if you keep your head. What was it Rudyard Kipling said? When you can keep your head about you when all about you are losing theirs. Right? Rudyard Kipling, Christian poet. Not inspired, however. But he had a good thing to say there. All right, so then in verses 5 through the end of the chapter then, Bildad gives his understanding of things with regard to God and the wicked. And in regard to God and the wicked, although he never mentions Job's name, what he wants Job to do is take all of these appellations that belong to the wicked and take them home, apply them to himself. In other words, I'm going to speak generically about the wicked, but Job, you know who I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying here, Job. And so he says several things. Let's just run through them. Verses 5 and 6, "Wicked men may burn for a short time, but not for long, like you." In other words, they may go on for a while, but their light will eventually put out, just like you, Job. Verses 7 through 10, "The wicked will stumble and be taken. Their strength will not deliver them," just like you, Job. The wicked, verses 11 through 15, are subject to the King of Terrors. Did you hear that? The King of Terrors. Wow. "No matter if they for a time seem to dwell securely, they shall be terrified with the firstborn of death." It's kind of a hard passage to understand, but notice in verse 14, "His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the King of Terrors. It shall dwell in his tabernacle, because it is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. What Bildad says here is, wicked men may be confident, but they're confident wrongly. And eventually, even their confidence will flee from them, and they'll have to face the King of Terrors. It's a very interesting thing, and something that I hope to bring out in this afternoon's sermon. But let me just forecast it here. That when wicked men suffer, they have nothing to mitigate their suffering. All they have is what the writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 2 is a fearful expectation of judgment. That's all the wicked have. And so when they are tasked, when they are afflicted, they have that to look forward to. An eternity of judgment. And so what Bildad says here is, oh, you have confidence in your tabernacle, but it doesn't belong to you. It's not rightly there. Of course, he's speaking rightly of wicked men, wrongly of Job. Right? All right, then verse 16, he shall wither away in the inward part and in the outward part. And he uses the metaphor of a tree, whose roots and that which is above ground both wither. And then 17 through 18, his remembrance shall be no more. His name shall not be spoken. Even his relatives, verse 19, shall deny him. They shall disavow his relation. And then in verses 20 and 21, there are those, truly, that are astonied, those that come after him. Notice Job had earlier said in his answer to Eliphaz, righteous men shall be astonied at the righteous judgments of God. What Bildad says is they'll be astonied all right, but they'll be astonied because of the greatness of judgment that takes place. It's not because God is doing righteously necessarily. It's just what happens to the wicked is so fearful that men will be astonied. All right, so that's Bildad's charge against Job. And let's see a few uses. First of all, stay on point and hear your opponent. Stay on point and hear your opponent. Generate more light than heat. Right? Generate more light than heat in your discussions. Second, know that this is the end of the wicked. But do not boast against him unless you should be like him. Whenever we see the wicked going forth and suffering for his wickedness, let us not pharisaically pull back from that and saying he's getting what he deserves, lest someone hold up the mirror to us. Because if we get what we deserve, it is equal to what the wicked get. Third, there is no rest for the wicked, generally. If they go on in their merry way, it is only to be destroyed. The Lord will bring them into judgment. Know also that the wicked have a fearful expectation of judgment and indignation. Right? So that we don't suffer like the wicked do. Because we don't have that same fearful expectation of judgment and flaming fire that shall devour the adversaries. That's Hebrews chapter 10. And finally, Bildad puts a righteous man in this category. Beware that your judgments can be false. Right? You can be wrong. And so we must give the judgment of charity as far as we're able. All right, thus ends the reading of Job chapter 8.